Good morning to all who have gathered in this place and to what I understand is a larger congregation out watching on their televisions at home via the internet or whatever way technology has provided for people to experience worship these days. Difficult life, time in the life of our nation, and I pray all are well. And that wherever you are this morning, I hope that our focus will be on our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God known in Christ. And it's my prayer that God's Spirit will be with us and we will rightly worship. Many of you know me. I am Steve Newton, and after 16 years of serving as pastor of Westminster Presbyterian Church in Nacogdoches, I retired last November and had the privilege to preach, some of you know, the last Sunday of last year in this congregation. Over the past weeks, though, I've slipped into the back of the church and worshiped here. Brian called me several weeks ago and mentioned that he was moving to Fredericksburg and asked me if I could preach this Sunday and next Sunday, and I understand I'm now signed up for the Sunday after that, then skipping a Sunday, then the next two Sundays, I believe. So I don't know if that is good news or bad news to you, but that is the reality. But when Brian called me, he said that you're doing kind of a double thing. Most of the congregation is watching at home, but still they have a congregation gathered for worship. And after missing sitting in a congregation for 12 weeks, I jumped on the opportunity and certainly have enjoyed slipping in the back door at 10:45 on Sunday mornings and enjoying worship here. To be honest, since last November, I've had kind of this sad feeling that I don't have a church home anymore. Before the COVID thing hit, I was preaching regularly in two small churches in Grace Presbytery. But when it comes to a church home, this is starting to feel like a little bit like it for me, being able to come and worship with you. The only announcement I have is that following worship today, the session will be meeting. Are there other announcements? If not, hear the word from Psalm 145. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. One generation shall laud your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord. All your faithful ones shall bless you. They speak of your glorious kingdom and they tell of your power. Let us worship God. Will you join me in prayer? O Lord, our God and King, you are greatly to be praised, and your greatness is beyond our ability to comprehend. Draw our hearts to you, guide our minds, fill our imaginations, and control our wills, that we may be wholly yours, utterly dedicated to you. We pray you will use us for your purpose, and that what we do during this hour of worship and what we do outside of these walls will always be for your glory and for the welfare of your people. Hear our prayers, receive our worship, and speak to us during these moments, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you please grab a hymn book and turn to hymn number 195. We're not singing, we're just reading. Many of you know the story of David on the rooftop while his men were out in battle, and there he saw Bathsheba and the sin he committed with Bathsheba and all the ramifications from that. And Psalm 51 is David's prayer of confession. And today we're going to be using a paraphrase of that prayer as our prayer of confession. And so will you join me as we confess our sin using the first four verses of Psalm number 195? Let us join our voices. Have mercy on us, loving God. Remember not our sin. According to your steadfast love, come cleanse us deep within. Our sin and guilt are heavy load, Lord, and evil in your sight. Against you only have we sinned. Your judgment, Lord, is right. We're born into a guilty world and sinful in our ways. Lord, teach us wisdom in our hearts and lead us all our days. So come and purify our lives, our hearts with love redeem. Restore us in your life. Filled ways. Come, Lord, and make us clean. Let us take a moment to confess our sins in silence. And hear the word from Colossians. May you live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Friends, this is the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. The day came when Paul had a vision of leaving and crossing into Macedonia, and there he continued to take the gospel, and one of the places he took it was to the city of Philippi. Hear the word as I read from Acts chapter 16, beginning with the 11th verse. We sailed from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira, and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. And she and her household were baptized. She urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us. The word of the Lord. I think at this time I'm supposed to do a time for young disciples, and I see the youngest disciple in here. I don't know how young she is. Waving, hi. But maybe there are some young disciples at home. And I would remind you of the words of Jesus who said, "I am with you always, even to the close of the earth." And if we had children up here, I would ask them if they have ever heard of Hopalong Cassidy. Anybody here ever heard of Hopalong Cassidy? I used to have this little book and a record I would play. And when the record did the words, it would beep, and you turn to the next page, and you keep going. That was the old days. Okay, you haven't heard of Hopalong Cassidy, but you have heard of Matt Dillon. Ben Cartwright? My favorite was Hoss Cartwright. No. Roy Rogers? Okay. Dale Evans? Okay, let's move forward a couple of generations. Bugs Bunny. Peter Pan. Okay. I have no idea what this is, but I've heard of it before. SpongeBob SquarePants. And then I was tutoring this first grader this year at Regay Elementary School in Nacogdoches, and he was so enthralled with Power Rangers. Okay, well, the characters change over time, and pastors change over time. Have you ever heard of Jackie Hannon? No? Everybody else heard of Jackie Hannon? Somebody dear to this congregation? She was the pastor here when I moved to Nacogdoches 17 years ago, or she was the associate pastor filling the role of pastor because she worked long and hard here. And now Brian has come, and Brian has gone, and he has been the pastor for so many years. But God has called him to a different church, and the preachers change. But no matter who the preacher is, always remember what Jesus said. It really doesn't matter who the preacher is. I am with you always, even to the close of the age. Pastors change, but our Lord Jesus does not. Let us pray. Lord God, we give you thanks for Brian's long and fruitful ministry here. But as we look to the future, a future leadership, the session of this church, the children and everyone here, help us to always remember that you are here, you do not change, and you will never go away. Amen. Once again, will you join me in prayer? Almighty God, in you are hidden all the treasures and wisdom and knowledge. Open our eyes that we may see the wonders of your world, and give us grace that we may clearly understand and freely choose the way of your wisdom through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Imagine Lydia. She runs home, flings the door open wide, ran inside, and shouted for all to hear, "We're going to have a baptism. Get everybody up, get the children, put on your best clothes. We're going down to the river. We're having a baptism." Earlier that morning, she was attending a prayer group down by the river, and this group of women were praying. They were approached by a stranger. The women are first suspicious, but the man did look dangerous, but you could never tell. The instinct is to run, but they thought, this is our place of prayer, so they held their ground and wondered if this man knew how inappropriate it was for him to come near this group of women, especially a group of women in prayer. But the man was looking for the group. He heard about the prayer meeting of the Jewish women down by the river. They met every Sabbath. And as the stranger moved closer, he broke into their conversation. And he told them about God, to whom their prayers were directed. Of course, his name was Paul, and he spoke to the women with devotion and love, and he told the women more than they had ever heard about God, and he told them about Jesus, and down by the riverside, the church in Philippi was born. Lydia and her household were baptized, and Paul's pastorate began in Philippi, and it was a productive ministry, but it was also a tumultuous ministry. You remember the occasion that Paul was thrown into jail in Philippi. There was a demon-possessed woman, and she was a soothsayer. And using her soothsaying skills, she made a lot of money for her owners. But Paul drove the demon out of her, and her fortune-telling came to an end, and the soothsaying business went underground, and its proprietors, to say the least, were very upset. And they had Paul thrown into jail. Well, there was the earthquake, and the chains fell off the prisoners, and the jailer, thinking Paul and all had escaped, was ready to kill himself, but Paul cried out, and he says, "We're still here," and he used the opportunity to tell the jailer about Jesus Christ, and he and his household were baptized, and the church in Philippi continued to grow. And as the church grew, it would not be an understatement to say that the Philippian church loved its pastor. Eventually, Paul left and went to another church for a while, probably in Ephesus, though, or maybe he was in Rome. He was in jail. In hearing about Paul's imprisonment, the Philippian church sent Paul a care package in response to the love encased in that gift. Paul took out his pen and paper and wrote the church a letter, and it begins this way. And I'm reading from Philippians chapter 1, the first 14 verses. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you because you hold me in your heart, and for all of you shared in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you determine what is best, so at the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced a harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. I want you to know, beloved, that what has happened to me has actually helped spread the gospel so that it has become throughout the whole imperial or praetorian guard and to everyone else that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers and sisters, having been confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, dare to speak the word with greater boldness and without fear. There comes a time in the life of a community when something will happen that will dominate almost every conversation. The day our conversations are dominated by either COVID-19 virus or the protest and violence in the wake of George Floyd murder. Do you remember the conversations that dominated the community when Hurricane Rita hit? I don't know. I didn't know hurricanes came this far inland. Is your power still out? We lost our power 2 days ago, and it seems there's no hope of getting it back anytime soon. It's too hot to sleep at night. I don't know what we're going to do. I called the tree service over a week ago, and still there's a tree sitting in my dining room. Thank goodness we weren't eating when it fell. It would have killed us all. Over the years, scandals at the White House have dominated our conversations as well. How tired I was of hearing the word Watergate, but that's all people talked about my final 2 years of high school. And then there was Clinton's definition of the word is. Remember that famous line, it depends on what your definition of the word is. Remember Bush announcing that the mission was accomplished, but today we're still sorting things out in Iraq. And I will not bring up the current White House or administration because you're probably still talking about that one, and I think it will distract from the sermon. But I wonder what the conversation would be like if it were announced at 10:45. Somebody hears the phone ring, they come stand in the pulpit, and they say, the preacher's in jail. He's not going to be here. Well, the news would be around town in an instant. It's not that the preacher is well known in the community, but people seem to enjoy stories about preachers being thrown into jail. Well, it happened one day in Philippi. Someone stood up in the church and announced, Paul's in jail. And I'm sure that dominated the conversation of the church. Unlike when preachers get arrested today, especially when there's a scandal, for it's usually a scandal why a preacher is thrown into jail these days, but the scandal that got Paul arrested was that he was telling people about Jesus Christ. He had been warned. He had been flogged. He had been stoned. And he still would not stop telling the good news of salvation in Christ. It's a characteristic we admire when Christians and totalitarian systems will not back down from sharing the gospel, even if they are arrested for it. Everyone in the church was concerned. The Sunday school teacher, though, was just a bit relieved because he was not confident that his lesson would be well received. But the only thing the people in his Sunday school class could talk about was that the preacher's been arrested. He's in jail. An elder may have taken the responsibility for leading worship and another one preached, but probably no one listened to the sermon for the only thing they could think about. Paul's in jail. Following worship, they all went down to the hotel or the Philippian equivalent for lunch. They didn't have COVID back then, and they started talking about their beloved pastor. You know, I was one of the ones down by the river praying when Paul showed up to tell us about Jesus. Many of us believed the good news that he shared, and Lydia organized a baptism. We started having church in her house. All of a sudden, everything they did and saw reminded them of their pastor. One said, "Remember his eyes were so bad that if there wasn't enough light, we had to read for him." Another pointed to an umbrella in the corner. "He left that umbrella one day. He came and he left it in the corner and he never came back to pick it up. I suspect he knew I didn't have an umbrella and he left it on purpose." You remember how cold he got? I still have the quilt I used to keep him warm as we sat by the fire, and he told us stories and of ways we can honor Jesus. So many things reminded them of their pastor who was now in jail. All those reminders. You have things that remind you of people. Years ago, our son was part of the 101st Airborne during the invasion of Iraq. And I promise you that a day did not go by that something in our house reminded us of him. It really did not make sense, though. Paul was peaceful, a God-loving man. Paul was a pastor. How do you explain that he's in jail? His whole life was given to the work of God, and he's in jail awaiting trial and very likely his death. If anyone was ever faithful to the gospel, it was Paul, and now he's in jail. If you've read the story, you read about how he dragged his crippled, aching, beaten body across two continents to preach the gospel, and suddenly he is stopped in his tracks and thrown into jail. He's still full of energy, and he writes his friends in Rome, "I'm coming to see you, but only for a moment, but I want your help to get me to Spain. I'm running out of places over here to preach, and I just have to keep going." But he's stopped in his tracks. He's sitting in jail. I'm inspired by Paul's commitment to the gospel. In jail, he is chained to his guards, but he keeps talking about Jesus. As a matter of fact, he shares the gospel with his captors and the entire palace guard. He hears his witness. And I wondered in my mind if in that palace guard, if people stood in line so they could be the next to be chained to Paul and listen to his stories, or if they tried to avoid guarding Paul because he was getting to them. Back in Philippi, the church worries, how on earth are we going to get along without Paul? We must help him, for we will never find anyone else like Paul. I just don't know what's going to happen to our church with the preacher gone. We're going to lose members. Matter of fact, we will lose members. Giving's going to go down. What's going to happen with Paul gone? Well, let's get the Presbyterian women to bake some bread and cookies, and the men can go through their closets and find some warm clothes and pack them away. We can find a few books for him to read, and we'll send a care package to our imprisoned pastor. So the church sends one of their own to see Paul, to help him out, to see if he has any needs while he's in jail, and Epaphroditus volunteers for the job. They take a collection, pack the bread, the cookies, the food, the books, and send Epaphroditus on his way with the instruction to let them know if Paul needs anything else, he is to be sure to take care of it. On the way, Epaphroditus gets sick and almost dies. He becomes more of a problem for Paul than an asset. So Paul sends Epaphroditus back to Philippi with a letter. Paul wrote, "Thanks for your show of love by sending Epaphroditus. But I have enough troubles without having to worry about a sick elder. I'm sending him back to you, but once again, thanks for remembering me." When Epaphroditus arrives back in Philippi, the church people say, "What are you doing here? You're supposed to be taking care of Paul." And he said, "Well, Paul sent me home, but I have a letter from him, and he wants me to read it to you in worship today." And this is what Paul said. Well, this is a paraphrase of what Paul wrote. He basically writes the Philippians and most of the rest of the letter, "Get me off your mind. I'm not the center of the church. If you're worried about how I'm doing, well, I'm doing fine. I'm prepared. I'm prepared to live. I'm prepared if I die. With everything I've gone through with this aching body, I would be glad to be free of it and to have the flight of angels take me to rest. Death is no threat. In fact, if I had my way, I'd rather die and be with Christ. But I think that God has a lot more for me to do, so I will probably return to work with you, maybe, someday. But until that time comes, quit thinking about me. No church can survive built around the preacher. The church is built around Jesus Christ. I am one person. Christ, I am one person, and I'm in prison. Christ is not in prison. Christ is the Savior of the church. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Preachers will come, preachers will go, young ones, old ones, good ones, bad ones, but the church is always the church. You have Jesus Christ. I want you people to prove the prophets of doom wrong. Prove them wrong when they're saying attendance will go down now that Paul's not there. Prove them wrong when they say the offering's going to drop off now that Paul is not here. Prove them wrong when they say we're going to lose a certain segment of the congregation now that Paul's not here. Prove them wrong when they say, I think the members will just kind of drift off now that Paul's not here. Prove them wrong. Stand together, side by side. Be fervent in what you are doing, serving Jesus Christ. This morning, as we remember Paul, I want you to know two things. There are two things absolutely essential to the church, and the preacher is not one of them. The two essentials to be the church of Jesus Christ are Jesus and human need. You see, in that place where the church dwells, there are the rich and the poor, the haves and the have-nots, the powerful and the powerless. There are those who are educated and those who are ignorant. There are those who believe and those who don't believe. There are the high and the mighty and the lowly ones no one will ever know. And in between is the church of Jesus Christ. The church is called to help both the haves and the have-nots, the powerful and the powerless. The church is to be the gospel for all these people. And as long as you have Christ, as long as you have people in need, you have a church with a mission. Paul says, the real proof of my ministry is not the preacher. It cannot be the preacher. As a matter of fact, the real proof of a pastor's ministry is how the church works to honor Jesus Christ in his or her absence. Fred Craddock tells the story about being a conference speaker at Clemson University in South Carolina. Before he gave his talk, a young woman began the program with a devotional. He didn't know the young woman, who was in her mid-20s. She had pale, blonde, straight hair. She was thin, wore no makeup, and she had a soft voice. And when she got up to give the devotional, she had a yellow legal pad upon which she had written on several pages. And looking at all those pages, Dr. Craddock thought, we're never going to get out of here tonight. Everyone has to be a preacher. Her voice was low, yet everyone heard her, but no one could understand her. She was speaking in another language, and then she spoke in another language, and then she spoke in another language, and another, and another. No one could keep count of how many languages she used. One listener leaned over to the person next to her and said, I think that line was in German. Another was sure they heard her speak in French. Several noticed that one of the languages she used was Farsi. She was saying something over and over, but in different languages. Some thought she must have used some 60 or 70 different languages, saying the same message over and over. And finally, she spoke the sentence in English. And this is what she said. Mommy, I'm hungry. Think about that message next time you see the billboard. All you can eat for $10.99. It's a phrase that's being said all over the world today. It's a phrase that's being said throughout history. And unfortunately, I'm sure it's a phrase that's being used here in Lufkin, Texas. Paul said, don't worry about me. Don't focus on me. I'm not the church. You are the church. If there's anyone who is dispensable, it is me. Prove my ministry, Paul said, by being the church. For all you need to be the church is Jesus Christ. And human need. Your Brian pastor, your pastor Brian, is not going to jail. He's gone to Fredericksburg, I don't know which is worse, but that's where he's gone. Like Paul at Philippi, he has been called by God to a different ministry. And all you know is that you've lost someone special, and we will pray that God will bless his new ministry. But you will not stop being the church. You have Christ. You're surrounded by human need. In Brian's absence, I wonder what you will be doing to prepare the way for the next pastor. When you're in your office, when you're at the store, when you're in your home, when you have a couple of hours to help someone in need, what will you be doing in the name of Jesus Christ? Amen. Will you join me in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we give thanks that there is nothing complicated about being the church. We give thanks that it is as simple as trusting your promise that Jesus Christ is always present and that where there is human need, you call us into service. Help us not to get bogged down with the details. Help us to be comfortable not knowing why. Help us to walk by faith when we do not understand, and keep us focused on Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our friend, our constant companion, the one who sees us through trials and tribulations. May all we do in word and in deed be done for the glory of God. Help us to reflect your grace and glory in our speech. By your Spirit, enable our actions to always work for the reconciliation of your beloved creation. May Jesus shine in our lives so we can shine for him in the world. We pray for our nation that is in such a state of unrest. We understand the glorious history of this nation, though sprinkled throughout that history is grave sin, greed, slavery, displacement of Native Americans. It is a history. It is our history. And nothing we can do can change it. Yet we know the answer to our nation's current problems is Jesus Christ. In the midst of the unrest, hatred, protest, help us to be a people who proclaim the Lord's grace and forgiveness and show his love. For the only way forward is to live by the words of Jesus, who taught us to treat others as we want to be treated. So no matter how we are treated, good or bad, may our response always be seasoned by your grace and by your love. We also pray for the physical health of this nation and the entire world, and with those who are researching cures and vaccines for COVID-19. Give them wisdom and help them in their work, and we pray you will keep us and our family safe. And now in a moment of silence, we pray for those about whom we have personal concerns. And as Jesus taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Dear friends, I'm unsure what method this church uses in a day of COVID-19 to receive your offering, but whether you have a plate in the foyer or you send in a check or use PayPal, whatever that is, I encourage you to continue to give to the cause of Christ. Your gifts are important, and one only has to realize the evil in this world to understand the need to make Jesus Christ known in our lives, in our giving, and in our voices. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we offer to you our gifts and pray you will use them for your purpose. Allow our giving to bring you honor and use us, your servants, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord God, we give thanks for these moments of worship. We give thanks for the word we have heard. We give thanks for your power to live in the glory of Christ. Send us in the world as faithful disciples, and make all glory be unto you, now and forevermore. Amen.